Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Outdoor America with Tommy Bench. Outdoor America is brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Now, here's the host of Outdoor America, Tommy Bench.
We're about to have some blistering cold weather, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are already starting to get cabin fever from the winter. You know, like I said, we're about to have lows in the single digits, even in the negatives a little bit. It's going to be blistering cold, and man, I'll tell you what, these fish are not liking this. You know, they're about like we are. They don't like this weather too much. I've been out there. Actually, Kayla and I just went out earlier today just for a little bit before the show, and it was tough. I mean, it's tough to catch when the water's 34, 35 degrees. I mean, it's cold. When you got ice on the edge of the river, it's tough to even get out there, let alone catch some fish. But, you know, it's bound to make a turn. We just need some more water and get the jet boat out there, and I'm about to get this boat rigged up and have it completely ready, set up to go dinosaur hunting with. I'm going to get the newest live scope system for the bass tank, and they're going to rig me all up. Going to get some micro power poles on there and Garmin Force, and it's going to be a pretty sweet rig, and I'm really, really excited, looking forward to that. Get out there chasing these old smallmouth dinosaurs and being able to catch some of them and get them in the boat and get some pictures and put some clients on some giants. You know, we just got our brand new logo. If you haven't seen on social media, a lot of great things going on with Kayla and I, with our business, our guide business. We got a new tackle shop we're opening up, and our brand new line of lures that we just announced this week, a few days ago. And it's going to be, we're real excited about it. You know, with the whole theme of dinosaur hunting, we decided to go ahead and go with our tackle line along the same lines. So we got some dino food and some dino snacks. And of course we're going to have everything from smallmouth baits, big baits, small baits, crappie baits, white bass, bluegill, sunfish. I mean, just across the board, anything you can imagine. As far as the species of lures that we're gonna, you know, target for, and we're pretty excited, pretty pumped up about it. We got it's been you know, something in the works for a long time. It just makes sense. We've been, you know, I've been guiding for smallmouth for roughly 16, 17 years now. And, you know, I've learned a lot, and I've learned a lot of things that work, and I learned a lot of things that don't work. And I've, you know, just like any other angler, you get some certain things that you really like, and they just work well for where I'm fishing, for my smallmouth and the Gasconade and the Big Piney and the Merrimack and Niangua and stuff like that. So that's something that, I've done for a long time. I've made my own lures, and to be able to catch these fish the best I can. And now I'm just going to, we're going to make them, for our clients and for the public. And, pretty excited about that. And of course, you know, like I said, we just have a lot going on with the cabins. We've got two new cabins that we've got all fixed up and ready to have full accommodations for our guide trips. You know, you come fish a guide trip with me, which it'll be a bed and breakfast. Kayla will make you some breakfast. You know, pre-order the night before, and that way she knows what to make the next morning. And then you can re-spool the night before, kind of hang out with me a little bit because it's on our property. And it's just a really neat experience, I think. And it's brand new for this year. Like I said, we're just throwing everything out there. We want to have it from start to finish, the old, what we call the ultimate Gasconade River Guide experience. So it's going to be pretty exciting. You know, I'd say the tackle shop will not be completely ready till about this time next year, as far as the brick and mortar store, you know, as far as actually having the store to be able to, the physical store to be able to walk in. But we're already trying to get the products that we want to carry. And so if you're a tackle maker, or if you're a distributor, or if you're someone that's in the industry of not just tackle, but it's going to be a hunting, it's going to be an outdoor store. It's not just based on fishing. I mean, that's probably the majority of what it's based around. But we're also going to have clothing. We're going to have calls, turkey calls, deer calls, predator calls, scents, and S-C-E-N-T-S, not S-I-N-C-E. So we're going to have like animal scents, you know, for like doe and estrus, you know, for all them big deer hunters, and some of the other scents that goes along with predator hunting and deer hunting and all sorts of things like that. So we're really excited, really pumped. I think we're going to try to carry traps and you know, rods and reels and just terminal tackle and, you know, of course, minnows, worms, you know, for every level of the angler, so to speak. You know, you don't have to be no professional. You don't have to be a professional. If you're a novice, we'll have it anywhere from a 2-year-old, 5-year-old, all the way up to a 95-year-old or above, that, you know, whatever you would like to have. And I think it's really going to be nice, because I get to handpick exactly what I want to have in the store, obviously, because it's my store. And I fished a lot with some pros. I fished a lot on my own, and I know what works for me. I know what's worked for me for 25, 30 years since I grew up here, you know, my entire life. And I know it works. Like, I fished a lot of tournaments. I MC for a lot of tournaments. So I see, you know, the popular items and what people want, what anglers want, you know. So it's not going to be just a Walmart sort of brand stuff. We're going to have legit, you know, Strike King and Mega Bass and Spro and you name it, you know, Cellar Baits, and I mean anything you can think of that's good, high quality, all the way down to Arc. It's just cheap stuff, you know. Just, you know, for, you know, it's not going to necessarily be a high end store. I'm just saying we're going to offer everything for every walk of life, whatever you're into. But we're pretty excited about that. And there's a lot going on. You know, if you're in the Kansas City area and around, we're going to be at a show March 8th through the 10th, I believe. I think it's 8th, 9th, and 10th. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we'll be doing seminars. I will be doing seminars. We'll have a booth up. You'll get to see the Dinosaur Hunter patches. And you can come see my biggest smallmouth ever. I got a replica made by a good friend of mine out of Kentucky. He made this out of a wood car. He carved this out of wood. How cool is that? A wood carving replica of my biggest smallmouth ever. It is an amazing piece. You just have to see it to really appreciate how how amazing this thing is and how big it is, but it's a big fish. And, you know, like I said, that's why I had that done, because of the, how special it was. You know, it's a very special fish and significant. And I'd say it'll probably hold as my largest, maybe forever. I hope not. You know, I like to think that I'll catch one bigger, but, you just have to come see it. Come check us out at the booth, March 8th, 9th, and 10th. We're doing seminars all 3 days, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. Q&A, if you got some questions, you want to ask anything you like to ask about. You know, what's my favorite way to catch these dinosaurs? You know, how am I catching these 20-plus inch, four to six pound river smallies, you know, and those are big smallmouth for the state of Missouri and anywhere. I mean, anywhere in the country, for especially for those are extremes. That's the difference. You know, a lot of guys are coming with me and seeing these fish, and they understand how special they are, even though they've been to Canada and Wisconsin and Minnesota and way up north where it's like a totally different breed of fish. And actually, I believe it is a different species. It's still smallmouth, but they have different strains. And the strain we have are, you know, long and lean, but super, super strong. They've got big tails, and, you know, they got to fight that current all the time. And so they're a lot of fun to catch. And you know, while we're there, like I said, I'll be at these seminars. Pick my brain. Ask me anything you want. I'll be doing an hour-long seminar, I think, a couple times each day. So come visit. Come say hi. Come check out the booth. We'll have lots of these dinosaur snacks and dinosaur food, our new line of baits that's going to be there. And so you can get exactly what I'm catching these fish on, is the things that I've been making for myself for close to 20 years now. I've been doing this since I was in my early 20s. I started making these lures, and it's been working. I just keep, you know, tweaking them over the years, changing colors up maybe a little bit, but all in all, it's the same stuff I was catching years ago. I just have rotations. You know, it's funny. I was talking to Kayla about this. Back in the day, a buzzbait was my main big fish topwater bait. I threw a Strike King buzzbait. Chartreuse. It's like a bleeding chartreuse bait. It's got two holes in the blade, just your standard buzzbait blade, and 3/8 to 1/2 ounce buzzbait. And those were killer, man. I slayed the smallmouth on that years ago. Me and my brother James, we used to tear them up on buzzbaits. And it kind of, over the years, you know, with technology and newer baits that come out, the good old whopper plopper come out, you know, and the Berkeley Chopo and the whopper plopper kind of took over that game. And it was much easier to use those baits because they float. So I could have my older clients that wasn't nearly as quick on the trigger as far as getting that bait up like you have to with a buzz bait. I could have them throw them whopper ploppers, and even if it took them a few seconds to get it going, it worked out all right, and they could still. And not only that, you got treble hooks. So then, you know, I know sometimes a lot of guides, that's a no-no. Don't have your clients throwing treble hooks. You're just asking for a disaster. But, you know, I try to put my clients on, or give them the best opportunity to catch that fish. Whether it's treble hooks or not, I'm just really conscious about people's back casts and, you know, being careful with the treble hooks and fish care. That's why I'm almost always the one to take them out myself, as far as the hooks go. And it seems to work out. I've been fortunate not had a lot of hooks in me. But hey, folks, we got to take a real quick break, but we'll be right back with more dinosaur hunting right here on Outdoor America. I'm Tommy Bench.
You're listening to Outdoor America, brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. More with Tommy Bench after this. You're listening to Outdoor America. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
Like I said, it's been a great week out there. Like always, you know what? The way I look at it, every day that God gives me to wake up and my family's healthy and I can still get up and walk and talk and grab a rod and fish, you know, I'm truly blessed. You know, that's why I always say it's a great week. Even though not every week is great for fishing, it's been tough. I won't lie. It's been flat out hard to catch these fish, and it's been so tough that I've just pushed my trips off because this water temperature down there, it's down in the mid-30s, literally 34, 35 degrees, and it's only going to get worse. We're about to get this major cold front that's moving in, actually, as we speak, and it's cold. It's cold. So, you know, I'll have to let this pass and things will warm up a little bit, and these fish will get back to acting right. You know, they should anyway. But anyway, like I was saying, got a big show there at Kansas City. Look it up. If not, like I said, folks, just go on my social media, Tommy Bench. Matter of fact, we just launched a brand new website, TommyBench.com, on Sponsorless. So go check that out. You'll be able to see all my links, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, the website, any affiliates, any sponsorships that I have, anything that I support or that support me. You can go check that out and help support the companies that support me. And I really appreciate that because they do a lot for me. And without them, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm able to do and live in the dream. I literally live the dream. A lot of guys are always talking about how lucky I am. And I wouldn't, and I'm not going to disagree with that. I feel like I'm very blessed. You know, God has blessed me tremendously with the life that I live and being able to fish, you know, take people fishing, being able to talk on the radio, being able to MC tournaments for these tournament trails. And, you know, it's what I've always dreamt of, you know, thinking as a kid, who wouldn't want to live a life where you're surrounded by fishing and hunting and talking about fishing and hunting and, you know, and you're surrounded by some of the best anglers in the world and some of the best hunters in the world and other communicators, other radio hosts, other outdoor riders. I deal with them almost on a weekly basis. I'm taking an outdoor rider to do an article for a Game and Fish or for, you know, one of them big publications, whether it be Field and Stream. I've been in Field and Stream, and I'm very fortunate. You know, I feel blessed to have this opportunity and be able to do these things that I love to do. But like I said, it's been great. It's been good, and we're just gonna keep making it better. You know, with our guide service and our tackle shop and the cabins we have to offer now, it is truly the ultimate experience. You get to hang out with me. You know, if you want to come on a trip with me, you book a trip, you get that ultimate package. You got a cabin for the night. There's actually two of them. So you and your buddy come. You each have your own cabin. And your own bed, your own little bathroom, your own little kitchen to cook your food, which, shoot, you don't even have to do that. Kayla's going to make your breakfast, so, you know, you got that covered. And there's a fire pit out there to hang out by the fire to, you know, for a nightcap. You want to sit out there and drink your drink of choice or just hang out by the fire, whatever you like to do. I'll be around to help you go through some of the lure choices for the next day. Help you re-spool, re-tie if you need to, kind of go through. We'll, you know, talk about big fish. And then the coolest thing about the cabins, in my opinion, is just when you walk in and see what the cabins, the atmosphere is really neat. I love these cabins, and they're mine, but I love, like, if I come to this cabin, I wanted to decorate the cabins. Like, if I come to it, I would think it was a really neat atmosphere. So you walk in, you got a hornet's nest. That's up. Obviously, there's no hornets in it, but it's a hornet's nest, and then there's a big old turkey fan on the wall. Compliments of me, of course. And then there's a shoulder mount on the wall. Again, compliments of me. So I basically donated my hunts, my trophies, so to speak, for these cabins. You know, but these are things that I take a lot of pride in. There's a big smallmouth replica, of course, not the real thing. We'd never, you know, that's just a sin right there. And in God's eyes, I think, to kill a smallmouth. And so, yeah, no smallmouth were harmed in the mounting of this fish. It's just a replica. But I got a collection of arrowheads. And check this out. Kayla and I are working on a table made out of arrowheads. Okay, not the complete table, but the tabletop is going to be made out of arrowheads that we found right here on our river, you know, on the Gasconade, where I'll be taking you the next day, and maybe more than one day. Who knows? You know, it depends on how many days you want to go. But very, very excited, very blessed to have this opportunity, doing several shows. Like I said, I'll say that again, March 8th, 9th, and 10th, come check it out. We're going to be right there in your neck of the woods, if you're in the Kansas City area, doing shows, seminars, and we got a booth, and so you'll be able to come check out our new line of baits, the Gasconade River Guide Bait and Tackle, dino snacks and dino food, and you know, kind of goes in correlation with the dinosaur hunting. But anyway, we got that going on, and we got you know, the cold weather here hopefully passes through sooner than later, and I'm ready for spring, to be honest with you. This winter's not been great. Last winter, we killed it. I mean, we absolutely killed the fishing. It was just catching giants. And every trip, and multiple giants on a lot of them trips. But this year, it's been really tough. The low, super low water conditions, clear low water, clear low cold water, even worse, is probably about the worst case you can have for these fish. And that's what we have right now. So we're hoping to get more snow, more rain, something. We need to fill this river back up and get some color to it to where it's not so clear. And these fish will start acting right again, you know, get the water temperature back up in the lower 40s at least. That's what I'm looking at. But like I said, we went today and fished a spring, actually. Bullen Spring is where we fished. I grew up fishing Bullen Spring years ago, and it used to be so good that it was – some days it was literally every single cast you were catching a fish, and they were big. They were big fish too. It wasn't like they were just little 12, 15 inchers. They were legit 17, 21, 22s. I mean, big smallmouth, and it, a lot of memories right there with that spring. But we went earlier and it didn't happen. It wasn't very good. It's just, I could see the fish. I could see some of them. They just wasn't having it. I caught one black crappie that was on a jerkbait, and that was it. Everything else was, it was tough. I could get the fish to come out and take looks at it, but they just would not commit to it. I don't know what was going on, but we didn't spend much time. We went for a little boat ride. Kayla was just excited to get back out on our jet boat, and so we did that. We did that and had fun. Took Corbell out, and she loved it. And she just—it's been a while since she's been in the boat. And you know, kids, if you follow along, you know our daughter Corbell. She's growing like a weed. So she's getting bigger and bigger by the minute, it seems. And so she was really loving being in the boat today and had a blast and just kept pointing and talking and jabbering on, pointing at this and pointing at that. And she just loves being out there. And I guess that just kind of comes natural to her with her parents both loving the outdoors. And you know, we just do. I mean, it's funny. People say, you know, what do you do? What do you and Kayla do for fun? You know, what's your hobbies? Well, folks, that's what it is. The exact same thing I do for a living is the same thing I love doing for fun. That's why I say I'm truly blessed to have the opportunity to do what I love to do, because whenever her and I want to do something fun, it's the same thing. It's just with her instead of a client. We go fishing, we go camping, we go hiking. We go to Arkansas. Went to Arkansas. That was a lot of fun to go there with our good buddy Michael, and he invited us to his place and looked for arrowheads, and we found, I think, 13 or 14. It was an amazing trip. Of course, Kayla just broke her foot, so that never makes it easy, but she's a heck of a trooper. I'll tell you, she's the toughest woman I know, and that's just, she's a good woman, and she's my best friend and my partner and everything. So, folks, we'll be right back right here on Outdoor America. I'm Tommy Bench.
You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Boatworks, performance specialists. More with Tommy Bench after this. You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Bass Tank. Whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
You know, with the cold weather being as cold as it is, what do? Well, there's lots of things to do this time of year, even when the fish aren't biting. I'm going to tell you a few of them you can do to help by the time, maybe till that we get some more rain or we get a little bit of warmer weather. Everyone's probably got cabin fever, but guess what? If you like deer hunting, you like deer antlers like I do, it's shed season. These deer are dropping. They're dropping their antlers real quick. So get out there, go to some fence rows. I mean, that's a good way. If you know a place where they cross the fence, they jump the fence in particular, that's a great spot to look. Just walk up and down the fence line. Most of the time, you'll just find where they hop the fence in fields in particular, and that's where they'll fall. Or if you know where their food source is this time of year, you can go check those food sources out. And, you know, because, you know, there's not a whole lot of food left until spring, you know, and we start growing more grass and weeds and acorns and persimmons and whatever else we have, you know. But
That's something fun to do if you like deer hunting or like looking for deer sheds. But I don't know if I ever talked about this, but you know, I had a rough season, deer season this year. Of course, I did get my buck. I got my first ever drop time buck, but I had to do it with my bow and arrow. Dadgum, I was out there with a gun, had a great opportunity, probably the second week, and a big buck walked down the hill right at me, kind of quartering to me. I think I've told the story, but kind of blew it. I took a shot and hit the deer, and at least I was sure I did. And I started to try to get a picture to where I could, you know, from the stand, like, okay, I know that fern. That deer was almost stepping on that fern. So I got a picture of where it was at and location of the stand. That way, when I got down, I know right where to walk to looking on my picture. Well, as I'm looking, taking this picture, I look at the tree, and holy smokes, I shot the side of the dadgum tree. Like, how did I even hit this deer? I have no idea. Well, anyway, so I had originally called a tracker because I thought, you know what, I'm not going to lose this deer again. I'm tired of losing deer. After if you know what happened to me last year, I shot the biggest buck of my life and wasn't able to retrieve it. So here I am. I'm hurting. I'm like, man, this is terrible. You know, I've been hunting deer my whole life, and I've never had this issue until these last 2 years. Like this patch of woods that I've been hunting, and my brother's just got me cursed or something. I get out there. I walk down, and I find a couple drops of blood, and I follow the drops of blood. I give it about an hour. I go back and get Kayla. We go searching for this deer. It goes right up the same path that the other deer went the last year. And I get up there, and of course, there's the deer. It takes off running. I'm like, he's healthy as can be. You know, I just barely just nicked him is what happened, or just hit him with a fragment. So here I am. I'm completely devastated again. And so I just got to keep going, right? You got to keep going. So I gathered my bearings, and I thought, you know what, I gotta do better. You know, I gotta make better shots, make sure there's no trees in the way, blah, blah, blah. So I started thinking, you know, where that deer went and the other deer went, they both went the same path up this hill, which is kind of odd. But I thought, you know what, I'm gonna take my climber. I'm gonna go. There's a reason why they both did that. Animals don't just do things for no reason. Most of the time, there's a logic behind it, or there's a reason why they did that. I took my climber and I took it up that hill, found me a good tree to set in. And it wasn't first day, maybe it was the second day. I was sitting there and I could hear this deer walking. And I knew it was a deer because of the way it was consistent. You know, ch, 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 not a ch, 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 ch. That's a squirrel running around. You know, they're so erratic. But I knew this was a deer. The problem about it is, this is the way I am. I've always been this way. You never point a gun at anything unless you plan on shooting it. Well, I didn't know if I planned on shooting it until I saw it, right? So, shoot, for all I knew, it could have been my brother. It could have been Kayla. I'm pretty sure it wasn't her because she was at home. But you don't know. It could have been someone trespassed. I didn't want to have a gun pointed at a stranger. So, as it comes up the hill, I get my gun kind of ready and to where I could just lift straight up. And as soon as I see it, I knew I wanted to shoot this deer. I mean, big. It was a nice one. I pull my gun up. I get the deer in the crosshairs, and I squeeze the trigger all at the same time. This deer is blowing at me and spinning around, like real fast, spinning exactly around the same way it came, as fast as you can imagine. And this all happened simultaneously, exactly the same time I squeezed the trigger to shoot this deer. What is my initial thought? Did I even hit the deer? I have no idea. I mean, did I miss completely? Did I hit it? If I did, it shouldn't go far, right? So I'm like, should I even tell Kayla? I almost didn't tell her. And I decided, you know what? I'm just going to tell her. I said, I hate to even say anything to you because I'm afraid I'm going to be jinxed and it's going to be the same situation I dealt with the last two bucks. So I get down, I walk over there, not a single drop of blood anywhere. I couldn't find a single drop of blood. And I watched where it took off running. I looked and looked and looked and looked. I could never find a single drop of blood one. So I thought, man, I must have just missed this thing. And I looked at where I looked around where I thought it could have ran to, basically to the edge of the property. And there's a little creek, a wet weather creek that's down at the bottom that crosses between the bordering property and ours and my brother's. And that's the only thing I didn't do is walk down completely down inside of that. But I could see down in there. I just didn't walk all the way down to where, you know, I was walking through the channel. And so I thought, you know, this deer's gone somewhere else. Well, I'll look again later. And so I went hunting and, you know, kind of gave it another shot. That afternoon, I think I went and made another little round of looking around for this deer. And, you know, fast forward a little bit further on, I kind of gave up on it. I told Kayla, I said, you know, we need to go look for that deer. I kept thinking more and more about it, hearing stories about people that shoot deer and never having a drop of blood, but they end up finding the deer. And I thought, man, that was a good deer. I realized how big he was, because keep in mind, the same time I seen the deer seen me. So it was simultaneously. I didn't have but just seconds, literally just a few seconds to realize how big the deer was. And so I don't have a real, I just knew it was well big enough to where I wanted to shoot it, where I was definitely wanting to harvest this animal. I told you the rest of the story. So, you know, about a week goes by and I'm like, Kayla, we got to go look. Let's just go look. I don't know. I'm convinced I hit that deer. Let's just go look. If we find something, awesome. If we don't, well, at least I can say I really tried to find this, because I did. I looked two different times, and but I thought, you know, we don't have a whole lot going on, so let's just go look. So we get down there, we're walking around, and then we will kind of walk up past the fence, and we come back down, and Kayla said, well, there's a dead animal of some sort right there. And I said, it's a deer right in that creek channel. We walk over there, and it's a big old buck with its antlers cut off. Oh no, like, Who would have done that? The only person that has permission to be on their property is me, Kayla, myself, Kayla, and my brother, which owns the property. And, of course, anyone with him, but they wouldn't have been out there by themselves. So what do I do? Logic tells me, let's go to the landowner, because the property line was literally about 6 or 8 foot away from where the deer was laying. So I thought, well, if they was on this on their property, seeing it laying over here, maybe I thought, you know what? I'm going to cut the head off, or the antlers off this deer, which I don't know why they didn't just cut the skull plate or the whole head, but that's what they did. They cut the antlers off. So I went to the owner. Kayla and I said, you know, let's just go to the owner of the property and ask him. And we did. And we asked him, and sure enough, they said, no, we don't hunt. You know, we're an older couple, but if anyone found a deer on our property, it would be right down the road. The guy right down the road gave me his name and said he would have been, if anyone found it, it's him. Great. So I went and I talked to him nicely, of course, to try to hopefully recover my deer. But, you know, I'll tell you how that went when we come right back, folks. We got to take a real quick break, but I'm going to tell you how that story went right after this. This is Outdoor America. We'll be right back. I'm Tommy Bench.
You're listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Bass Tank. Whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank carry it. Don't go away. We'll be right back. This is Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Baitworks. Shop where the pros shop. Here's the host of Outdoor America, Tommy Bench.
So there I was, looking for my deer. I finally found my deer. Couldn't believe it. First, I couldn't believe that I found my deer. Then I couldn't believe that somebody had come over on our property and cut the antlers off of it. You know, what are the odds? Out in the middle of the woods. It's like way out in the middle of, way out there. I mean, it was a long ways away from where their property, or it was thick stuff. I mean, it wasn't like it was just a field edge where you could see it from, you know, on a four-wheeler or side-by-side. But nonetheless, we went to the property owners, and they was nice as can be. Said, if anyone found it, it would be John right down the road. He hunts his property. He's the only one, and he likes him. So I go to John, and I, hey, Mr. John, good to meet you. My name's Tommy Bench, and I'm just looking for a deer. He said, looking for a deer? And I said, yeah. Well, he said, well, you think it's over here? I said, no, I know exactly where it's at. I found the deer. I'm looking for the antlers that come off the deer. And he said, he kind of looked down. He's, you know, at first I thought, oh, he's got him. You know, he just, his reaction said it all. By the way, he dropped his head and kind of looked down. He said, where exactly, can you tell me exactly where this deer was? I said, oh, yeah, it was in the creek. It was down there in the creek. And he said, this creek right here that runs, I said, yeah, but over on my brother's property. And he said, I said, yeah, you wouldn't happen to have him, would you? And he goes, well, he said, no. I told him who I was, you know, so putting two and two together, I think, here's my logical explanation. I think he's got him. I really do. I'm not going to be the one to call a man a liar, but I truly believe he has him. And I truly believe that he was just, didn't want any conflict. And after I told him my name, he's probably thinking, oh, crap. Here this is Tommy Bench, you know, well-known name around the area. And then my dad Jimmy Bench, which happens to be the sheriff of this county. So he's probably thinking, oh man, you know, here I did cross over on their property, which is against the law. Technically, it's trespassing. And then he took a deer, or took the deer antlers, and then it looked like they cleaned the deer. Nonetheless, he denied it. Super nice, though. And I thought, you know, it's just a deer, but it's like, man, that was a good deer. I knew how big the deer was, or at least how big it looked whenever I shot him. And anyway, he's long story short, come to find out, this man is one of the best trappers in the entire county. You know, and this was told to me by my good friend Aaron Ponderm. If you've listened to the show, you've heard Aaron Ponderm. He's a conservation agent in this area, and told me, said, man, he's about the best trapper in the area. So, you know, I'm like, hey, you know, I'd really like to learn how to trap, you know. And he told me, well, I'll take you with me one of these days. And he's asked me if I knew where the otters were. I'm like, well, heck yeah, I know where the otters were. Because, you know, what happens in the wintertime is these fish will all school up in winter holes, right? Well, the otters ain't dumb. They know where to – if you find otters in the wintertime, you're going to find fish because they're around. That's their food. That's their food. So I guess here's the final say on the story to kind of conclude the story. I didn't get my deer back, but I got to meet someone that's got a lot of knowledge on trapping. You know, so I get to learn a new trade. At least that's the plan so far. As he told me, he'd take me with me and to teach me. He said, it's, nobody does it anymore. No one just does it. And he said, more people need to get into trapping to keep them tamed, you know, because there's too many otters out there. They're just eating the fish, and it's just a bad deal. You know, you got beavers and otters and coyotes and all kinds of stuff out there, you know. But he said, well, if somebody found it, it's technically theirs. You can't really just say, that's my deer, give it back. And I said, yeah, I know. I just was thinking that maybe if I asked, someone would give them back to me. You know, if they said, hey, yeah, I found them. I didn't realize that. I thought it was an abandoned animal that someone didn't find, or, you know, didn't care for. And that's why I cut the antlers off. You know, he even admitted, he said, yeah, I cut them off all the time. I see one side of the road, I'll cut them off. I don't care if they're big or small. So it kind of gave me the impression I had a good idea with that old couple that owned the property. Said if anyone found a deer on this property, it would have been John. It's that guy right there, our neighbor. He's the only one that would have that could have found this deer. Same guy I'm talking to. So I kind of knew what was going on there, and it's no big deal. But it's just, you know, it just kind of hurts that I didn't look a little bit harder. So the moral of the story is, folks, if you're a big deer hunter, you shoot a deer, you think you shot that animal? You probably did. So be vigilant. Keep looking. Don't give up. I mean, give it a good valiant effort at least. You know, don't just look around. I mean, I thought I looked well, but I didn't actually walk down that creek channel. If I would have, I'd have found that deer. We'd have been able to harvest the meat. I'd have had, you know, the head from it with the antlers and the whole. I mean, I'd have had it all. I mean, it'd have been a great ending to a mediocre year. But the deer just haven't been that great here. You know, it's been tough. They've had CWD issues for the last few years, so they're doing a cleanup. Conservation department is going through trying to clean out the herd and basically just thin it out so much to where they just start over. They start over with a whole new, you know, group of deer. You know, obviously you're gonna have to keep a few of them around, but thin it out enough to where the chances of carrying that CWD, keeping it going is very slim, and that's their goal. It's just unfortunate that it used to be such a great place to hunt around here. You'd see six or eight deer in any particular setting. You know, I could go out there almost any day during the deer season and at least see two or three deer. And, you know, a bad day was one or two. Shoot, I couldn't tell you how many countless days we went this year and last year and never even seen a single deer one. Not a single deer. We have trail cameras out. We've got four cameras out and, you know, spread out different, you know, high trafficked areas. And we just don't see a whole lot. Then there is one buck around here, and I can pull this recording up one of these days if I'm able to harvest this deer. This deer is going to be something special. He has got split main beams on his left side. I've never seen that. I've never seen that around here that's got legitimate split main beams. He literally has two main beams coming out of his head on his left side and then just one on the right side. But his brow tines are like 6 or 8 inches tall. And this dude's only like a year and a half old, maybe two and a half. I mean, he's young. I'd say that's his first rack. So if he keeps them characteristics and it's not just a fluke deal because maybe an injury. I know a lot of times an injury can cause that. you know, if he had an injury on the right side of his body, I think it affects the left side of his antlers growth. I don't know. Pretty cool. Got him on camera. Hope he gets big and stay and keeps that same characteristics. That'd be pretty cool. Pretty neat. Actually, I hope Kayla gets him. Kayla's earned it. She's worked really hard. She's put a ton of hours in those woods, and she needs to be rewarded. You know, I seems like I kill a nice buck every year, including this year. You know, I complain about the deer, the ones that got away, right? But I killed my first ever drop time buck this year. It's my redemption buck, so to speak. I did the same thing last year. I shot Big John, wasn't able to recover him, hired tracker. We caught up to the deer. The deer's still alive. You know the story, right? Well, I get back out there literally the next day after we found that deer and realized he was still alive. I think it was the very next day, the very next morning, I get out there. Big old mature whitetail walks by, smoke him. You know what I mean? It's like, there's my redemption buck. Not a bad buck at all. So I've been blessed. You know, I've been really blessed with my fortune with the outdoors. And I feel like I'm good at adapting to situations. Like, I know that I see him go this way, so I'll kind of move. I'll move and set up in a way to where I can visually see their patterns and make a change because I'm not set up in the right area. But anyway, I've been blessed. So I hope Kaylee gets this deer, this double main beam. Remember me talking about this, because when I post a picture or have a brand new story about this a couple years from now, I want you to remember this. It's going to be pretty cool. But hey, we got to take another real quick break, and we'll be right back to wrap everything up right after this on Outdoor America. I'm Tommy Bench.
This is Outdoor America, brought to you by Baitworks. Shop where the pros shop. More with Tommy Bench after this. This is Outdoor America, brought to you by Summit Finance Group. Here's more with Tommy Bench.
Here we are, you know, towards the, you know, end of January of 2024, a brand new year. And hopefully you got a lot of great fishing ahead and a lot of great adventures in the outdoors, whether it be, you know, there's so much to do. I talk about that every week, but there's literally so much you could do in the outdoors. Mushroom hunting. Every spring you got morels that come up, right? That's one thing, though. There's a lot of people that may not be big anglers or big outdoorsmen, but they love mushroom hunting. I say outdoorsmen are big hunters. You know, usually that kind of goes hand in hand to be an outdoorsman and do the things that involve being outdoors, obviously. But we love to, you know, Kayla and I both love to just be outside. Whatever it is, whether it's, you know, just enjoying fresh air and just hanging out outside with our kids and tossing a football around or taking a hike. We have trails out on our property. They used to be old four-wheeler trails when I grew up. Me and my brothers would ride four-wheelers and dirt bikes and had those old trails on this property that, now, I didn't know it at the time, but the deer love using them, so it kind of works out for us as adults now. But we'll go hiking, and of course, you know, I told you about all our plans with building our shop and our bait and tackle shop down there, basically right in the woods, you know, basically right inside the woods, and it's gonna be neat. It's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to the future, and I hope you can get out there and catch some giants. You know, catch some giant smallmouth and some crappie and largemouth or whatever it is you like catching. Catfish, maybe it's blue cats or flatheads or white bass, hybrids. Who knows? You know, people like enjoy catching a lot of different kinds of fish. I just like catching them all. I mean, if I can catch white bass, I'm gonna do it. If I can catch some crappie, heck yeah, sign me up. Let's do it. I just like catching fish, and I love deer hunting. Everyone always, you know, it's a kind of a misconception. Everyone thinks that fishing is my true passion, and it is. It really is. But I'll be honest with you, I love deer hunting. Deer hunting is probably maybe my favorite, and the only reason why it doesn't appear that way is because there's a season for deer hunting. You know, I can only do it a certain time of the year. September 15th is when our archery season opens up, and of course, you know, second weekend of November, usually around the 12th, which is my beautiful daughter Caitlin's birthday. That's when usually firearm season opens up, and it goes through, you know, through the new year to, I think, January, the end of January, I think. So right now, shoot, I could still be hunting right now, but I've already pretty much set my season. It's over as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I could still hunt a little bit more, but there's no need in it. I'm in fishing mode again. I got to do shows, and you know, hopefully I see all you bunch of you fine folks at the show here come up in March 8th, 9th, and 10th. And like I said, I'll be doing seminars, Q&A. You got any questions at all, you know, especially about smallmouth, because that's what I seem to know the most about since that's what I do for a living. Come out and see us. Come out and see me. Ask me some questions and hang out with us. Come check us out at our booth and check out some of our new products, our Dino food and Dino snacks. They're smallmouth is what they are, smallmouth snacks and food. But, you know, that's like I said, I got the slogan dinosaur hunting. So that's our new line. I think it's pretty neat and clever, and I'm excited. I'm excited to come up with some new colors and patterns and some unique baits that have never been seen before. Something never been seen. They got creature baits, you know, all across the world as far as the bass fishing industry goes. You know, you got all kinds of brush hogs and this creature, that creature. You just make believe. You're just making stuff up most of the time. But man, I'll tell you, if a bass thinks they can eat it, if it looks like it's something they can indulge on, they're going to eat it. So I think it's pretty neat. We're excited to make some new stuff that no one's ever seen before. It's just a little bit different, but you know, that's like I said, there's so many things to do in the outdoors. It's not just fishing and it's not just smallmouth. There's all kinds of different ways you can go out there and enjoy the outdoors and going hiking. I know some people that don't even fish or hunt, but they love to go hiking. Her and her boyfriend, friend of mine and her boyfriend, that's what they do. They're always going exploring and doing all these hiking trips, and they're camping out in the middle of nowhere. Neither one of them fish or hunt, as far as I know, but they love to do that. So there's a lot to explore. You know, God has a beautiful, beautiful place out here that He created, and it's all there for us to enjoy. Just get out there and see what you can do in the outdoors, and maybe you'll find, you know, a hidden creek or maybe an old fruit tree. You know, those are something you don't hear about a whole lot, but years ago they had them. You know, people planted apple trees and peach trees and pear trees and all those sort of things, and it's kind of neat to just stumble across them, and you know that was at one point somebody planted those trees. It's not just a wild natural thing that happened. But it's like when we went down to Arkansas, it's so neat to think about. That's another thing I just brought up. I failed to mention artifacts. You know, everyone, if you follow along, you know I love finding artifacts. Arrowheads, spear points, grinding stones, all the things that we consider artifacts from, you know, the Native Americans before us, you know, 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, some of these artifacts are being dated back to that we're finding, you know. So I'm part of all these artifact groups, and because I truly love it. I'm very passionate about that. That's something that we've just recently gotten into. You know, I've been around it my whole life, and I thought, man, what are the odds that I've floated by one of the best places on the entire river to find these artifacts? I've been floating by it my entire life, and now here I am finding this stuff, you know, now that I know what to look for and where to look. Some of the ones we found, I'll tell you our favorites. My favorite is my Graham Cave. I've got a G10 Graham Cave that I found that is an absolute smoker. I mean, it is as perfect as I could ever imagine being made by a human being. It's just phenomenal to think that these humans made these things with their hands. I mean, literally, they made tools with their hands. They didn't have machinery like we have now, or anything. You know, all the technology that we have is just absolutely mind-boggling to think that they did that with none of this. I mean, nothing but their hands and chiseling away and creating hammers, and they created tools to make other tools. So pretty neat deal. That's something else I really like to do. Get out there, go walk a creek one of these days. Just keep your eyes out. I guarantee you, you find the right creek, the right riverbank, you're going to find them. You know, the right field next to a riverbank, they love being around water. So that's the only reason I'm blessed to be around high percentage areas, which is the Gasconade River, of course, the longest river that's completely contained in the state of Missouri. It's almost 300 miles long. So, of course, it was like, you know, back then that was their highways. The riverways was their highways because they could travel them, and it was a clear path, so to speak, you know, it was basically like a conveyor belt, you know, via water. So really neat, really, really neat and fun to do that and find these artifacts. And even this broken ones are even pretty exciting to find. And so that's something else we'll be doing. It's even more reason why I need some rain, because when I get a flood, that's when I find them. It washes more out of these banks that I like to look at. So I'm looking forward to getting some rain, getting some snow. I know you guys are probably sick of the snow. I just want to get this water or this river filled back up. And I don't care if it takes rain or snow, any kind of water, whether it comes down liquid or it ends up melting in a liquid, I'll take it. I'll take what I can get. Like I said, come see us March 8th, 9th, and 10th there at the show. We'll have a booth. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Instagram. Follow along with all my adventures. If you want to go on a guide tour, get a hold of me. 417-718-7716. We'll go dinosaur hunting. Check me out, TommyBench.com, Gas Canyon River Guide. Check it out, folks. It's been another great week, and hope to see you in the woods or on the water. I'm Tommy Bench. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Outdoor America with Tommy Bench, brought to you by Wholesale Batteries, the right battery the first time. Bass Tank, whatever brand of fishing electronics you need, Bass Tank, carry it, and by Summit Finance Group. Join us each Saturday morning at 5 a.m. for Outdoor America with Tommy Bench on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Catch up on Outdoor America programs. Listen on demand at 610sports.com weekend programming channel. For Tommy Bench, this is Mark Miller. Thanks for listening to Outdoor America, and have a great weekend.